Now, this is a very amazing incident of Tamim Adari. Tamim Adari was a Christian from Palestine. Heard about our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he came to our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Madinah Munawwara. Realized as the last prophet of Almighty Allah, he accepted Iman and he brought and he became a Muslim. Very amazing person. You know, and one day, out of his own, he wasn't instructed by someone, he lit a lamp. He lit a lamp in Masjid al-Nabawi. He lit. The ulama say, for first time the lamp was lit in Masjid al-Nabawi was lit by Hazrat Tamim Adari radiallahu ta'ala. And when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and he saw the lamp and it illuminated the masjid, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam became happy. And maybe because of that we have the leeway of, you know, making our masjid so beautiful. Whatever it is, maybe. So he saw this and he said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, may Allah illuminate the person who has illuminated my masjid. May Allah grant him nur who has granted my masjid nur. And then one riwayat makes mention, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if I had a daughter, I would have got a married to Hazrat Tamim Adari radiallahu ta'ala. Tamim Adari knew that one day the Muslims are going to conquer Palestine and Sham. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, allot a place for me from my place where I come, which is in Al-Khalil, when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is buried. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam writes him and says, O Tamim, the day the Muslims conquer Sham, this land near Hebron and Khalil is yours, but with this, one third is yours and your family, one third is for the Musafir, and one third is Waqf. So Tamim Adari radiallahu ta'ala presents us to Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who makes over the land to Tamim Adari radiallahu ta'ala. This is the faith of the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala majma'in. With that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had prophesied that the Muslims will gain Sham. Now this happens. Now after that, the Muslims still has tremendous love for Masjid al-Aqsa. It is a place where 4,000 ashab are buried. 4,000 ashab in the whole Sham. Just outside Masjid al-Aqsa, there are three sahabas buried, including Shaddad ibn Aus radiallahu ta'ala anhu, buried just right outside the Masjid of Masjid al-Aqsa. Now 4,000 ashab are buried in there. Many, many great scholars. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi comes from Gaza. We read about Gaza. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi came from there. Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi came from Ascalon, part of what is in Palestine today. Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi come from the place of Nablus. Musa bin Nusayr, the conqueror of Spain, he came from Khalil, Hebron. This was a legacy of the Muslims. And you will find how many great sahaba and how many great scholars thereafter visited Masjid al-Aqsa. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi wrote part of his Ihya ul-Ulum al-Din in Masjid al-Aqsa, in the precincts of Masjid al-Aqsa. And keep in mind that I've made mention, it is not the buildings that are sacred. And sometimes while we draw a distinction between the Dome of the Rock and the Masjid al-Aqsa in particular, we've got to keep in mind that according to the people who are there, the Palestinians, the entire land is blessed. They say that it's not only the buildings that are blessed. You say, Barakna hawlahu, Allah says we have made the land blessed, not only the buildings, that is bricks and mortar. The land is blessed, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made blessed. And this continued. This love continued even after the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, after the time of the Sahaba, until Abdul Malik bin Mirwan rahmatullahi alayhi constructed one of the most beautiful and enduring shrines in the form of the Dome of the Rock. It is a tribute to the Muslims' love and respect for this place. Allah, this particular dome, of the way he had done, it is one of the most beautiful buildings architecturally. If you look at people who have written with regard to the architecture, in terms of it being in harmony in various ways with regard to it. Why did we do all this? It shows our love and respect for the place. And that is why Abdul Malik bin Marwan rahmatullahi made mention with regard to all this. All this happened, a very short, very brief thing, happened in 1095. The Crusades by Pope Urban II, they demolished en route to Jerusalem. They went to Constantinople, they demolished that particular place, and they came as bloodthirsty savages. And in that particular aspect, they came and they overran the Muslims in Al-Quds. And when they came in 1095, between 1095 and 1099, they overwhelmed and they took Al-Quds away from the rule of the Muslims. And in 1099, this happened. And unlike the fairness that characterized the appearance and the conquering of Jerusalem by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala in the past, this time when they came, they laid the city to waste. And such was the carnage that Encyclopedia Britannica makes mention that in the time they came to Masjid al-Aqsa, the horses of the Crusades was knee-height in the blood of the residents of Jerusalem. They killed something like 70,000 Muslims in a day or two. The Jews whom the Muslims had granted refuge while they were under the control and authority of the Muslim rule, they were burned alive in their synagogues. And in this particular way, the Crusades, they took over Jerusalem from the Muslims. And at that time, 1099, and also while we feel hurt with regard to the situation today in Al-Quds, we must keep in mind that there were worse situations in our history. In our situation today, as bad as it is, Muslims still perform Jummah Salat in Masjid Al-Aqsa. In the time of the Crusades, for almost 85 to 90 years, there was no Salat in Masjid Al-Aqsa. No Jummah Salat for almost 85 to 90 years. But of course, they say, cometh the hour, cometh the man. After this, the resistance against the Crusade was led by Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullah Ali. And before that, Nuruddin Zangi Rahmatullah Ali. Nuruddin Zangi Rahmatullah Ali was an amazing ruler. He started the resistance against the Crusades. And he started off small. One of his contemporaries, Ibn Athir Rahmatullah Ali, says, I have read the history of the rulers of the Muslim world. And I've come to this conclusion. After the four Khalifs, and after the Sahaba Ikram, after Khairul Qurun, and after Umar bin Abdul Aziz, the most pious ruler in the history of Islam, Nuruddin Zangi Rahmatullah Ali. We don't even know the names of our rulers. It's a such great legacy that they left behind. And such was his love, and that's why we say our love and respect for Masjid Al-Aqsa must not diminish even in times of adversity. While he was fighting against the Crusades, he commissioned the building of a minbar of cedar wood, which was one of the most expensive wood, and he said, build this minbar and this minbar, and even if I don't conquer Masjid Al-Aqsa in my time, the day you conquer it, then take that minbar and put it in Masjid Al-Aqsa. Such was his love. Even while they were in adversity, they were thinking, and their love and respect for Masjid Al-Aqsa didn't diminish. Then, of course, he passed away. Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullah Ali then took over the cudgels, and Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullah Ali then led the resistance and regained Masjid Al-Aqsa once again for the Muslims. Such was his focus, that because of his, you know, desire to get back Masjid Al-Aqsa from the Crusades, the ulama say Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullah Ali didn't perform Hajj because of his focus of regaining Masjid Al-Aqsa from the Crusades. And one day someone saw him that he was, you know, serious. And he said, why are you always serious? You never smile. So he said, how can I smile? How can I smile when Masjid Al-Aqsa is still in the hands of the disbelievers? Where is our situation today? One very amazing incident I've heard this from my Sheikh Hazrat Mawlana Zulfikar Sahib, and I've always liked to make mention of it. Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullah Ali, one day, you know, was very worried and perturbed because in a very delicate stage of the battle, you know, very delicate stage, news came that the Crusades are getting a great reinforcements of a great fleet of ships that have left Europe to come join the Crusades in the fight against the Muslims. Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullah Ali was worried with regard to this. Now that the very delicate stage, things are just about equal. We are just gaining the upper hand. If this particular reinforcement comes, perhaps it might turn the balance and tilt the balance in the favor of the enemies. He went into the masjid after Isha one day, spent his entire night making dua and crying before Almighty Allah. The next morning after Fajr, he comes out of the masjid. He sees an old and elderly person upon whom there are signs of piety upon his face. And he asked him and he said, make dua with regard to the situation. He narrates the situation to this pious person. The pious person looked at Salahuddin. Maybe Allah Ta'ala had granted him a kashf at that time. Allah had revealed some aspects of the unseen to him. And he said, Salahuddin, your tears of the night have sunk those ships. Your tears of the night have sunk those ships. After a few days, the news comes that ships had left Europe, but somehow or the other, they had been destroyed and they had sunk into the Mediterranean. Such was his piety with which he regained. And in 1187, then Muslims regain Jerusalem and they perform Jummah Salat for the first time in over on close to 90 years. After that, again, the Muslims still, you know, one very amazing incident is about the incident of the Ottomans, when the Ottomans took over Jerusalem. When the Ottomans took over